If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you open to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be in chapter number 6 this morning. Matthew chapter number 6, a very familiar portion of Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount. But this morning I want to focus in on just one single verse. Verse number 33. Matthew 6, verse number 33. When you have your place, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say, Brother Scott, what's so important about that verse? Well, as I think of the passage that this passage is talking about, As he's here in the Sermon on the Mount, this passage is talking about food and about clothing, and why are we worried about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. And he talks about birds and flowers, that God takes care of the birds of the air, and have you seen the flowers of the field? And he talks about our daily needs, and why are you worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to put on? For the Gentiles know about these things, worry about these things, but God knows what you're needing. And he reminds us that God takes care of our daily needs and we need to put Him on first. And I think about the fact that Scripture tells us that in these last days will be perilous times. And we can look around at the world around us and see some perilous times, can't we? That perilous, what that's talking about, is it's talking about times that are difficult. Anybody have difficult times this week? Not only in our lives, but if you look on the news, if you look at what's happening around the world, there's some difficult times. That perilous talks about the fact that it's going to be hard to deal with. There's a kind of a reduction of strength. And I think about that as we start getting stressed and worried and looking at things around us. Pardon me. Looking at the things around us and we get caught up and maybe worried about our daily needs. And then we see what's happening around the world and we see those needs. And it's easy to get our focus off of the things of God and onto the world around us. And I'm reminded of Peter out on the sea as Jesus comes walking across the sea and he looks at us and says, Jesus, is that you? Jesus says, yeah, come on. Peter steps out of the boat and he's doing great until he looks at the world around him and he starts to sink. And many times we get our focus on the things around us and begin to sink. And that pulls me back to the verse that we're running into or that we're looking at this morning, that to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it is putting our focus back on Christ that we rise above the problems. And so what I wanted to talk about this morning is some things that as Christians we should be focusing on first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning. Father, thank You for those that are here. Father, if we look around us this morning, Father, there are many that are out and with the changing of the weather. Father, many that are out with sickness and with illness. Father, touch those needs. Father, some are just out because of other reasons, excuses. Father, stir those hearts. Father, I ask that You be with this message this morning. And Father, remind us of the importance of putting You first in every area of our life. Father, I ask that You take control this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In looking at this verse, I first want to, and just looking there at verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what I wanted to focus on, or just to start with, let me set a little groundwork here. The word seek. We need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, I know it's fun to talk about, well, you know, I've set my glasses down somewhere and I cannot find them. And diligently seeking as though they're hard to find. Or anybody lose your car keys? But that's not necessarily what that seek is talking about. That seek in the Greek is referring to worshiping, to desire, to endeavor, to long for. This is not, God's not hard to find. He's not off in the distance somewhere. He's near at hand. But are we worshiping? Are we desiring to be in His presence? Are we desiring to be around Him? Webster talks about to go after, to press towards, to drive forward. I want to put God as my center focus. That's what that seeking is talking about. Many of us, though, we like to put God up on the shelf, don't we? It's like taking our Bibles home, putting it up on the shelf, and, well, I'm just going to leave it up there as I'm dealing with the problems of this life, and when I need it, I'll get over there to the bookshelf, I'll pull it down, maybe turn it open, and then open to a verse so I can read it and put it back up on the shelf when I'm done. I'm going to go about my daily life as though I'm in control of everything and everything's going to go just fine until I hit a problem. Then I'm going to go pick up that magic Bible. I'm going to rub it and let the genie pop out of it. We need to seek. Need to worship. Need to desire to be in God's presence. It says to seek ye first. Well, let's talk about what first is. In the Greek, that talks about before, at the beginning. Webster, preceding all others as in time, order of importance, chief, dominant, foremost, before any other, in preference to something else. Seek, worship, desire before anything else. Put God first before anything is what he's talking about in this verse. But I also found this definition for first, and I love Webster. It talks about winning or the highest place in a competition. We've got some sports folks here, don't we? You like being in first, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. That brought a few smiles. Tell you what, you're having problems in this perilous times we're living in. You're having problems in life. How would you like to be the winner with the problems you're dealing with?
Amen.
We can do that if we will put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom. What is a kingdom? Well, it's a dominion of a king. It's the place where a king is. Seek ye first His presence, His face. So as we're looking at this verse, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's going to take care of everything. And as we're looking at this, I think about Jesus. It should be first place in our lives. The problem is when problems come at us or issues come at us, we get a little touch of poor me-itis. We get a little touch of the mully grubs. And what do we typically do? We end up running from Him instead of to Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Many times, instead of turning to God, we turn to a little g God. Maybe the little g God of an addiction. Well, I'm dealing with a little stress and a little anxiety, so I need to go grab one of these little things that comes in a little pack. There's 20 of them in there, and I put it in here and a fire on one end and a fool on the other and have a burnt offering to a little G God. Trying to calm down my nerves. I just can't deal with it, so I'm going to go open up a little 12-ounce little G God. Well, you know, I'm feeling kind of bad, but my favorite TV shows, maybe that'll cheer me up, and we go turn on the little G God of the TV. Or off the internet. The problem with these little G gods is they only last a short time. Until the effects of the addiction wears off. Until the TV program is over. Until the world goes on about its thing, we end up being quiet and alone at night. And suddenly we find ourselves alone because that little G God didn't satisfy. Maybe we'll look at the little G God of self, looking at our abilities, our efforts. Instead of looking to the one that loves us. We were just singing some beautiful songs about that love of God. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. Jesus loves even me. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. instead of looking to the God that loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to turn to the God that can solve the problems we're facing. Or at least get us through them. Amen?
Amen.
As we're looking to the one that was willing to give Himself, willingly give Himself for us. For God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. Not waiting for us to figure out how to get through the problems. Not waiting for us to figure out what to do. He died for us while we're still in the muck and the mire. Because He loves us. He's ready to take care of us. Ready to meet our needs. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep. In verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I was waiting on you to do that. But you didn't do it loud enough. Do it one more time.
Bah.
Bah. Anybody hear a sheep?
Bah.
Should be most of us.
Bah.
You ever watch sheep?
They're dumb.
Get out in Wyoming and Montana, out where the sheep ranches are, and they try to bring the sheep down to this little chute, trying to gather the sheep over in one area, like trying to get them into church on Sunday morning. One of them trips out here coming in the door, and every one of them will trip behind them at the exact same spot. Jesus says, I love my sheep, and I died for my sheep, gave myself for my sheep. If He gave Himself for us, why don't we look to Him when we have problems? The one that gave Himself for us, the one that died for us, the one that rose for us, the one that gives us eternal life, the one that knows what we're in need of. And I think of that passage over in Luke that talks about the number of hairs on my head. He knows what's up there. And Kim, I don't know, I think you and I are in a race to see who can lose it first. But He knows everything about us, knows the details of us, knows what we're in need of. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. If somebody cares for you, do you think you might turn to them? Hey, I've got a problem. Would you take care of this? And He's there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's where we should be turning first. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Anybody here have needs? I know who supplies them. I know who can meet those needs. But no, we like to turn to our efforts instead of turning to the one that can do something about it. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Why do we struggle with things? Why do we get so caught up in the problems of this life when there is one waiting for us to turn to? If we will only seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as I think about this, there's some other things that as Christians, yes, we should be looking to Jesus first in everything. Jesus, I'm going to the doctor. I'm looking to You first, the great physician. Jesus, I'm heading out to go to this area, go do this. And Jesus, I'm going to trust You for where I'm going and safety to get to and from. We should be looking to Him in everything. But there's some other things that need to be first in our lives in addition to putting Christ first over everything. Yes, He is the first over all, but I tell you what, how about this? How about the Bible should be first in our gleaning? When we need advice, we go looking at all kinds of different places, don't we? Dr. Phil, Dr. Google, Dr. Facebook. Looking for advice in the wisdom of men to try to solve our problems. Turning to those that, by the way, they're probably in the same shape we're in. Probably still trying to solve the problems that we're going through, but we'll turn to them for advice. Doesn't the Word of God say that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God? How about looking, when we got a problem or needing some advice, to the instruction manual? Little acrostic, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. How about looking to the Word of God? Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever, so whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Let me read that. Read that last part again. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. How many of us are comfortable with the Word of God? How many of us, we've got that nice soft pillow we like laying down on, right? We've got that nice soft bed we lay on. That's comfortable. I've got that recliner I can kick back in, and it's just, I've worn the padding down just right. It's nice and comfortable. We need to have the Word of God just as comfortable in our lives. Wearing down the pages of the book as I'm turning through it and reading through it and becoming familiar with it, so I am so comfortable in His Word that when problems come up, I know right where to go to seek my comfort. Right in the pages of a love letter. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." This is the very God-breathed words of God. Love letter directly to us. "It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction." Uh-oh, we don't like that one. "For instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished," or furnished, "unto all good works." When we have problems in life, or when things are going haywire in our life, or we end up getting ourselves into a little problem, or maybe a little self-condemnation, or, you know, I'm not feeling like I'm doing this, or whoops, wait a minute, somebody said I shouldn't be doing this. And we can go back to the Word of God, and the Word of God says, yeah, you really probably shouldn't be doing that. We get our correction here. We get our reproof here. And it's a word that, it's a Bible, it's the instructions that it says that we may be perfect, mature, growing, and gaining experience, thoroughly furnished, fully equipped to handle the problems of life when we turn and get to know and get comfortable with the Word of God. That's not putting it on a shelf. That's not just bringing your Bible to church. Well, I've got it on church. I read it at church on Sunday and maybe Wednesday night. And other than that, I just leave my Bible there. It's taking it daily. Getting into the Scriptures. Getting into the instruction manual. Putting this first. When we have a problem, I don't want to turn to Dr. Phil or Dr. Google. I want to turn to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is where we need to go. Every problem we face in life is going to be found in these pages. Are we turning to it? God's Word will light our path for us. It'll direct us on where we need to go if we'll simply turn to the instruction manual. Psalm 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by paying attention thereto, according to Thy Word." It's not enough just to read the book. Well, yeah, I got my Faith Bible Institute, and I got my homework, so yep, it tells me I got to read 14 chapters. All right, read, read, read. I'm turning to read, 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 read. Okay, got it read. But taking heed to it. God, teach me out of your word today. Father, let me go to the instruction manual and learn how it applies. We were talking about the sound system here between services this morning. And that's a pretty complicated sound system. You want to know how to use it? There's a 300-page manual on how to use all the little details of that sound system. Got a problem? Go look in the manual. We can figure out how to put it together. Figure out how to adjust it. The same thing applies to our life. We've got 1,189 chapters of instruction manual if we'll turn to it and apply it.
Amen.
To get rid of the problems in our life or to help us get through those. And I wonder what would happen if we were to take the Word of God, if we were to take the Bible and treat it like we do our cell phone. Uh-oh. Who's got cell phones? Can we start calling and see if you got them silenced? No, I'm kidding. We won't do that. But maybe you can help me out here. I mean, anybody here ever leave your cell phone at home?
Yeah.
And what do? I got to go back and get it. I can't go anywhere without my cell phone in my pocket. It's got to be with me. It's got to be in my purse. It's got to be in my pocket. I've got to have it. I'm sitting here waiting for somebody and I got to pull it out and play a game on it. Guilty. Constantly getting phone calls, constantly doing text messages, constantly doing that Facebook, social media. I wonder what would happen if we started treating this book the same way we did our cell phone. If we carried it with us, if we turned back to go back to the house to get it, if we forgot to grab one, if we flip through it several times a day, if we used it to receive text messages. If we used it in regular conversation. If we treated it like we can't live without it. The Bible's not just a Sunday book. It's not a coffee table decoration. The book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Is the Bible your first choice for when you need advice? When you're looking for the answers? How about this one? Church should be first in our gathering. Oh, I tell you what, we can all get together down at the baseball diamond or out at the sporting event and get together over here and get together over there. We can go get together for coffee. We can go get together for piece of pie. But we have a hard time getting together for church, don't we, sometimes? I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But what came to mind is I think about all the excuses that I hear on why I couldn't make it to church. Talking with folks during the week and oh, I know I need to be in church. Okay, we'll see you Sunday. And you don't see them on Sunday. And you reach out to them and you find out, well, where were you Sunday? I missed you at church. Oh, well, I had this going or that going. My toenail hurt. I had to go do some shopping. Family in town. And I got to think, remember that song, Excuses, by the Kingsmen? I love that song. Here are some of their excuses they gave. In the summer, it's too hot. Tell me if any of these sound familiar to you, or if maybe you used one of these. In the summer, it's too hot, and in the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains, or down to the beach, or to visit some old friend, or just to stay home and kind of relax and hope some of the kin folks start dropping in. Well, church benches are too hard and that choir sings way too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. Doctor said, now you better watch them crowds, they'll set you back, but you go to that old ball game because you say it helps you to relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. Well, one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. We started off this morning talking about the perilous times that we're in. And what you see on the news and what you see in this world around us. As I go through WIBW and looking through all the news stories that are out there, and 99% of them are going to have to deal with a crime in this area, or a violence, a shooting, some type of fraud over here, somebody found guilty of this. I know we're in perilous times. And the more I see that in the world, the more I should want to be in church. This should be the first place we come. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. We were talking in Sunday school about the rapture that could happen today. And the closer we are getting to that day, the more we should want to be in church. This is where we get the encouragement to get through the problems that we're facing. This is where we get the time in His Word and learning on how His Word applies, so to give us the strength to head back out into the battle. This is where we get the dings knocked out of our armor so we can head back in and get more put in. We need to be in church. If I think about seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I think about the fact that Jesus willingly gave Himself for me, willingly died on an old rugged cross for me. Do you realize that He has purchased the church in His blood? He died for the church. The church is the people. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, as unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Do you think the church was important to Jesus? No. I don't think I can get to church today. I've got something else going on. Something else that I find more important. He tells husbands to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. Again, you think if the church was something that important to Jesus, shouldn't it be important to us? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Chances to come together for the encouragement, the strength, the support that not only do we need, but maybe there's something that Everett's dealing with this week that I don't know about. And he comes into church on Wednesday night and he's feeling kind of down and discouraged, and maybe you've come in that way. And suddenly somebody walks up to you with a smile on their face and says, "Man, it's just good to see you today." And that lifts your whole spirits. You don't even have to say what was going on, but you just needed that encouragement. Maybe you're the one coming tonight that will encourage someone else going through a problem. Jesus died for the church, gave Himself for the church. Shouldn't church be a priority in our life? Shouldn't the church be first as we gather together? Here's another one for you. I've looked at, I tell you what, we're having fun with phrases today. That Christ is first in our lives. The Bible should be first in our gleaning. The church should be first in our gathering. Our tithes should be first in our giving. Tell you what, we like to spend money on stuff, don't we? We spend lots of money on debtables, dustables, and disposables. Don't we? Stuff that's beyond our budget, stuff and trinkets that are just going to sit on the shelf, or stuff that's going to break in a short time, we got to go buy another one anyway. Debtables, dustables, and disposables. All looking at that get, gain, gather, and hoard. You know, Jesus warns us about that. Matthew 6:19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal." I'm going to spend my life trying to get all these wonderful things. I got a 3-car garage full of stuff that I can't even get a car in because it's so full of stuff. And when I die in this life, I'm going to leave it to my kids after the government steals it all. I shouldn't say steal. That's not right to call our government thief. No. But they sure do like to tax it, don't they?
Amen.
They take their chunk out of it, and then the kids go fighting over whatever's left. All because we like to go spend. And we head out and I got to keep my lifestyle up. Got to go after what I'm wanting. Ooh, did you see those new iPhones that they've come out with? I got to go get me one of them. Oh, did you see that new car my neighbor's got? That's nicer than the car I'm driving. I better go get me another one. Got to keep up with them. Oh, tithing? Let me see what I've got left at the end of the month, and I'll see if I maybe put a dollar in the plate and give God our leftovers. We spend our time focused on the bills that we get a monthly statement for instead of a bill that we will never see a monthly statement on. I don't know, I guess you'd go to Methodist Church, you might get a done if you've missed a payment or two. But tithing is one that you'll never get a monthly statement for. You'll never get a phone call from a collection agency saying you're missing some of your payments. We focus on those bills and give God the leftovers. Who's in control when we do that? Who's in control? Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." When we're chasing from paycheck to paycheck and worried about our needs first, are we serving money or is money serving us? Which God will you serve? Oh, well, I don't know. I've had some higher medical bills this month. I just can't afford to tithe this month. Malachi 3:8 says that that's robbing from God. Will a man rob from God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. You want to get rid of some money stress in your home? Put God in charge of your finances. Let God have control of your money. Be a good steward of what He provides. Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You want to see God work some miracles in your finances? Give Him control of it. Put Him first in it. Let that be that first bill that you pay. And see what God does with the rest of it. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, says that "But this I say, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I wonder, where are our priorities? Is Jesus first in our lives? Have we made Him the Lord and Master of our life? Are we turning to Him first over all of life's problems? Are we putting the Word of God as our first source of information? Our primary source of information, comparing everything else we read to what we find in His Word? Are we putting church first? The church family? One another? It's the passage over in 1 John that talks about that people will know that you love me if you have a love for the brethren, love for the church that He died for. Are we putting Him first in our giving? First in our spending? And the last area I want to look at is witnessing should be first in our going. Now, as Americans, we spend a lot of time going. Two cars in every garage. Because the husband's going one way, the wife's going somewhere else, and they're busy running all over the place. Well, they got doctor's appointments and shopping and doing this and doing that. Global communications, global information, we're running ourselves ragged. We spend all day, we've spent the day running to the grocery store, running to the doctor, running errands, running kids to this place, grandkids over to here, and maybe even try to get a little work done in the process, but we can't work close to home. We got to drive all over the place to go get to work. Now wait a minute now. Don't get me wrong. I used to drive all over the place for work. Amen? Okay? That was my job. But we have become such a 24-hour society. I spend all day running and getting errands done and doing all the things that are on my to-do list of getting done today. And then when I get home and you think I might be able to relax, no, I'm getting on the internet to go do more. Because, well, wait a minute. As a global economy, as a global, just global communications, and well, there's people all around the world, and suddenly at 2:00 in the morning, I'm talking to somebody on the other side of the world because it's their lunchtime. Go, 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 go. We spend a lot of time going. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 talks about in the last days, they'll be busy running to and fro, and knowledge will increase. Doesn't that sound like today? Anybody keep up with technology? By the time you bought the computer home, it's already outdated. So what do we got to do? We go get another one. And we end up going again. Well, here's a wonderful idea. The thing that's missing on most of our to-do lists. All right, let's see. Tomorrow, I need to go to the bank. I need to go to the grocery store. I need to go to the doctor's office. I need to go run this errand. I need to go run that errand. Yeah, I think was there anything else that you know on my list? I think that's pretty well got it. Well, yeah, there's one thing missing on my list that should be at the top of my list. Go share the gospel with somebody. Go share a message of hope with somebody. Say, well, yeah, but preacher, you know, I've got to go to the grocery store. Okay. I'm going to go soul winning at Aldi's. Amen? I'm going to go soul winning at Walmart. Soul winning at Dillon's. The purpose I'm going there is to hand that gospel track out, to talk to that cashier, to maybe talk to somebody as I come around that cereal aisle that's dealing with a child that's doing all the gimme gimme, and you can see from the look on their face they're just about ready to scream. And you see what's going on in their life, and you come up and offer that encouraging word to them and tell them about a love of the Savior. Maybe you come around the corner and there's somebody just tears running down their face as maybe they're gathering a couple of items that they need because there's going to be a, a funeral or a wake, or you know, somebody's done something and they're just burdened with cares. And you come around that corner and you see them and you can talk with them. I'm going to the grocery store for soul winning. And if I happen to buy some groceries there, then so be it. Well, yeah, but Brother Scott, I go to the doctor's office. Better go to the doctor's office? Are you ever the only one sitting in the waiting room? Nope, there's always other people sitting in the waiting room. I'm going to go soul winning at the doctor's office.
Amen.
If I happen to see the doctor while I'm there, great, I'll go soul winning there too. He's going to come in with an iPad up in front of his face like it, and he's not even going to look at me. He's looking at his iPad going that. Walks in the room, might say a few things, walk back out of the room and charge me $300 for an office visit. And all I ever saw was the back of his iPad. I'm going to go soul winning. Witnessing should be the first thing we're doing as we're going. That should be the purpose of why we're out there. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? He said we're to be fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, Matthew 4:19. Come ye after me and you will become fishers of men, Mark 1:17. We're supposed to be going out with the purpose of sharing the gospel in the midst of our other errands. Make those secondary. Put the gospel first. By the way, you go into a grocery store with the intent of sharing the gospel, there's probably some things you may not buy. Twinkies. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is a representative. As we head out into society, as we head out into the world, we are to remember that we are representatives of Christ. Do we dress the part of an ambassador? Do we represent the King of Kings as we head out in our driving habits, in our spending habits, in our shopping habits, in the places we go? But not only are we ambassadors, not only are we supposed to be fishers of men, but we are commanded to be a witness. Matthew 28, starting in 19, Jesus tells us, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, proclaim the gospel to nations, ethnos, that's races, that's people groups." I'm not heading to Lawrence to witness to this, to the signpost that says, "Welcome to Lawrence." I'm going there to witness to the people in Lawrence. I'm heading down to the rescue mission to witness to the people at the rescue mission. I'm heading out to the grocery store to witness to the people at the grocery store. Those are the nations, the people groups that we're called to witness to. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them, discipling, instructing them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them what you know, to put Christ first. To put the Bible first in our gleaning. To put church first in our gathering. To put tithing first in our giving. To put witnessing first in our going. Teach others to do what He's taught us. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Or end of the world. The mission of the church is missions. That's why we're here. To reach Jerusalem, starting at home. Judea, our area. Samaria, crossing social, racial boundaries into the uttermost parts of the earth. Our missionaries back there that go around the world. It's time to look up. It's time to look in the mirror. Who's first in our daily lives? Who's really first in our daily lives? Who's first, or what's first in our gleaning? What's first in our gathering, our giving, and our going? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It takes an effort. It's a driving forward. It's a reaching toward. It's a desire for and a worship of God. And that takes a little work on our part, a little focus on our part, a choice on our part. And when we put God first, He'll take care of our daily needs. He is more than able and He is more than willing. If we will seek ye first the kingdom of God, focus on the eternal, not the temporal, and His righteousness, not our own, and all these things, present tense, continual supply, will be added unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Jesus died for you, died for the church. The cross proves His love. Where are your priorities? And as they come, I just want you to think about it. Maybe there's some things that we haven't been putting first that we need to. And if that Holy Spirit is dealing with you, will you come? You come and say, God, there's some areas in my life that I have not been putting You first, but I need to. I need to put You first in my daily life, in my daily reading, in my gathering, in my going, in my giving. Let's stand quietly for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning. And Father, thank You for the reminder that we need to put You first in our lives. Father, in everything we do, we need to be looking to You, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, looking forward to that rapture that could happen today. Father, being mindful, being ready, being busy, doing what You've asked us to do. And Father, that means we've got to spend time with You and time in Your Word. Father, be with hearts here today. Father, stir us, compel us, encourage us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.